Well, good morning again. If you were with us last week, you'll remember that Phil preached an excellent message on the power of unbelief. He really turned our head in a different direction from where we're used to looking. As followers of Christ, we are encouraged to build our faith. We're encouraged both scripturally and, of course, in messages preached as well we should be. And your faith, or lack thereof, is quite possibly the most important subject that you touches your life. Great faith in God will impact every area of your life in a positive manner. And as Phil pointed out, lack of faith or unbelief will have quite a negative impact on your life. So we often look towards building our faith as well we should, but sometimes we look at what happens if we don't. The power of unbelief. And as we take our seats in this church this morning or in any other Christ-centered church, we do so knowing that everybody kind of arrives here with a different place in your walk, a different level of your faith, if you will, a different place in your journey in Christ. And that's understandable. That's just the way it is, and that's certainly not a problem. You know, faith is not a contest. There's no prize for having the biggest Bible. The problem is it's easy to become complacent in our faith. Complacent in our walk with Christ. I have found in serving Jesus for well over 30 years that I have had seasons of faith growth and seasons of plateaus. And I don't like the plateaus. I don't think I've ever really went down, but in this, you know, I try not to do a lot of this up and down. I try to keep kind of steady, but you have these seasons. And as I said, it's very easy to kind of plateau or go backwards. Sometimes you just kind of maintain, and that's not a good place to be. And I suspect that you can relate to me for that for the most part. And I think every once in a while we need a little kick in the seat of our pants, if you will, to get us moving forward in Christ. Otherwise, we become stagnant. And stagnation in your walk with God is never His plan for your life. Everyone has faith in something or someone. Houston pastor John Bisagno put it this way. He said, faith is the heart of life. You go to a doctor whose name you cannot pronounce. He gives you a prescription you cannot read. You go to a pharmacist you've never seen. He gives you medication you do not understand, and yet you take it. Now that's living by faith. And faith in Jesus Christ is what a believer is all about. We are, in fact, considered people of faith. Our walk with God is a walk of faith. The reason we're here this morning is because of faith. We want to grow in faith. We want to build faith. We want to enjoy our faith. And you may know that Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the faith chapter and or may be called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it begins with these verses here. Hebrews 11, 1 and following. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And verse 1 is a beautiful definition of faith. And all of us need to continue on in the things of God. We need faith to continue on the things of God. And our whole walk, our whole participation in Christianity is because of faith. Placed, I believe, in man is a desire to know God. And we will only know Him by faith. When the Apostle Paul was ministering in Athens, he was walking around, and one of the things that grieved him were the many idols, the many expressions of faith, if you will. He saw them everywhere, and the people of Athens wanted to cover every base, and so just in case they missed a god that would be upset with them, they had an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. They were afraid that if there was a God they knew nothing about, might become angry because they didn't worship that unknown God. And so Paul wisely responded with this in Acts 17, 22 and following. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though they needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that may grope and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. And that verse, in him we live and move and have our being, is an incredibly inclusive. All that you are, all that you hope to be, has the opportunity to be directed by God. Every part of your life, everything that touches your life, you have an opportunity to have God give you direction in that. And notice I said opportunity. You choose how much of your life is under the direction of God. We do it all the time. And much to my amazement, there is no shortage of people that spend their lives without much or any consideration of how God fits into the tapestry of their life, how God fits into this whole picture. They don't give a lot of thought to it. And as a follower of Christ, that is not God's plan for you. His plan is that you follow him in every aspect of your life. And that requires faith. Trust in him. And when you make the move to serve him by faith, he steps in and he assists greatly in building your faith. Think about the words of Jesus. A couple times he talked to somebody and he'd say, "Oh, you of little faith." I mean, like he would marvel at little faith. He wants you to have faith. It's an expectation. He provides you with faith and expects you to participate in building your faith. And so Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's quite an interesting verse, really. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the word substance here in the original language has the idea of support. It literally means placing under or place a thing under. It's the foundation, the substructure, the base. It was holds everything together. The base of your life can be faith. And our faith is not founded upon fables, fictions, or feeling. It's founded upon facts. The fact that God is. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God. The fact of his death, burial, and resurrection. Those are facts. And you start believing them by faith, and you grow to know that they are, in fact, a reality. And so your faith is not based on fables, fictions, or feelings, but facts. And so to have faith, first you have to be hoping for something, believing something to require faith to grow in it. Something you already see or possess really doesn't require faith. Something you're hoping for, moving towards, believing for, that requires faith. And it's important to know and understanding that the understanding of this verse and this section of Scriptures contextually and the understanding of biblical faith is not blind faith. Just the opposite. And so often, you know, people look at even believers and they think, well, they just have this blind faith. What are they believing in some words? The Scripture proves that it's not blind faith. And here's a couple translations of that same verse. NIV says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." New Living Testament says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance that things about things we cannot see." A.W. Tozer has an interesting explanation for this verse. He said, "Faith is seeing the invisible, but not the non-existent." I kind of like that. And some people think faith is believing in something that's not actually there. Biblical faith believes God when he tells us there is a reality which we cannot see. There's a promise, a proof, a reality here, and we don't see it, but God says it's there. Trust me, that's faith. Faith means we keep our eyes on God who controls circumstances and not on the circumstances. And we see this confirmed in 2 Corinthians 5, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Is that your life story? Can you proclaim that? I walk by faith, not by sight. Because in reality, that takes faith. But shouldn't that be our life story? That my walk is a walk of faith, that God is leading me and directing me and guiding me in every aspect of my life? Our lives are multifaceted. Our lives are complicated. There's many things that touch our lives and many things build on our lives. And all that should be impacted by your faith in God. And so to understand faith, we first have to start out by knowing what requires faith. And you don't need faith for the ordinary things of life, the everyday, get up, get ready, get going about your daily business. I mean, a lot of people get up and get about their business and just get going without any faith at all. I mean, you don't really need faith for that. You don't need faith for the ordinary things of life that you already have. Unless you find yourself in a place where the ordinary requires faith. Such as maybe believing God to provide food for your family when you're broke, or getting up and getting ready for the day when you're sick or recovering from surgery. I have found seasons in my life where the seemingly ordinary required great faith. Amen? So you build your life on faith. And when the ordinary becomes unordinary, you trust God. When you're in that place, it's no longer the ordinary. It's a place to establish your faith. But faith isn't for the everyday ordinary. Faith is for the extraordinary. And extraordinary is where God is calling you to live. God has not called you to live an ordinary life. God doesn't expect you to, you know, be born and live and grow and just kind of live a ho-hum life. He says, you're my child. I'm a supernatural God. Your life should be extraordinary. That's where he wants you. And that's going to take faith. The extraordinary, the supernatural, is where God wants you to relive. He doesn't want you to just get by. There's a world full of people that just get by. And we say we serve a wonderful God, a glorious God, a big God, but we're just kind of getting by. It's almost like it doesn't match. In Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We all have to admit that sometimes we've been believing God for something and we didn't quite fulfill this verse. Faith is being sure of. Faith is, for some of us at times in our life, I hope so. And God puts hope in there. Now, faith is being sure of what we're hoping for, what we're believing for, and certain of what we do not see. Faith is assurance based on God and God's character. Because he makes promises and his character can back that up. When we have a full assurance of what God's promised us, it's as good as seeing what we're praying for. It's as good as seeing it. And that can be difficult for us. I mean, we live in a world and our life is by our five senses. And what we can see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can smell, what we can taste. I mean, that's how we live our life. And so all of a sudden we need to step out of that realm of our five senses and function in the realm of faith, and we don't always make that transition very well. I mean, we look at and see a chair. It doesn't require faith to believe that it's a chair. We can see it, we can touch it, and we have confidence we can sit in it. So faith takes you out of that realm. And biblical faith does not operate with your senses. Biblical faith takes you into the supernatural. Biblical faith has a beginning. And it starts by believing God. And it brings you to an assurance with God and in God based on his character. Do you want your faith to increase? I would suspect everybody here this morning says, I want my faith to increase. I want to have a better life of faith. I want to know God in a greater way. I want to grow in my faith. And there's a simple solution to that. Get to know God better. When you know him and his character, your faith grows. When you're closer to God and you have a deeper relationship and you know about him, not just in, you know, in words, but inwardly, you just know him, your faith grows. And faith moves from assurance, this promise, to conviction. And faith becomes conviction based on God's character and his promises. And where assurance is as good as seeing, conviction is as good as knowing, and that's what that scripture is trying to tell us. The assurance is as good as seeing it, and conviction is as good as knowing it and believing it. When you see God for who he is, when you believe a big God, when you know a big God that is better and bigger than all of your problems, you begin to function in the extraordinary, in the supernatural. And so we ask ourselves this morning, do we want to live an ordinary life? I mean, I've had days where just getting by would be good, you know? Just getting through the day and getting through the week, okay, I'm okay with that, you know? But the reality is God's not calling you for that. He's calling you to go higher, to live an extraordinary life. The apostles lived in the extraordinary. They knew God and his character. And contextually here in Hebrews, Paul is reassuring his fellow believers to have great faith in Christ. Have faith in the headship and his high priesthood of him, who he is. That's who you're going to. The theme of Hebrews is better. Everything's better with God. Jesus is a better way than a former way. Jesus is a better high priest. Jesus' salvation is better. It's all thing about Christ is better than anything God had before. It's the best. And so Paul's reassuring them, and he speaks of trials and suffering since knowing Christ. He touches on the reality. Things can be difficult. Here's some of the trials you had. Here's some of the challenges you had. And in chapter 10, he has an exhortation for the original hearers and for us as well. 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We all need to be reassured from time to time. We all need that reassurance of God's word, of his promise. God is real. God is involved in your life. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. Do not throw away your confidence. Don't take your confidence in God and throw it away. That's what he's saying. Hold on to that. Build your confidence. And he says, why? You're going to have need of endurance. You have need. There's going to be seasons in your life that you're going to see, I need God more than I did yesterday. I need him desperately. You're going, to need your faith. So your faith walk should be growing daily. Faith, in reality, begins as a gift from God. Romans 12:3 tells us we've all been given a measure of faith. But the reality is all of Scripture says God gives you that measure of faith, that ability to believe that God is and his Son is real. And from there, you grow your faith. You build your faith. And of course, we should know the scripture in Romans 10:17. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Where does that tell you your foundation and your base for faith is? In the promises of the word of God. I like what D.L. Moody said about faith. He wrote this: I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't seem to come. One day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. It's just a reality. Faith's coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's choices we make in our life. Of growing in the word of God, knowing the word of God. And the reality is, you will not build your faith without effort. I had this quote years ago on my desk for years, and I heard it, and it just spoke to me. My life is not made up of the dreams that I dream, but of the choices that I make. How many of you have dreams for your life? We all do. Hopes and promises for the future. And, you know, sometimes we have a dream of just getting through a trial. And sometimes we have a dream of a better life or some moving forward or whatever. We all said this morning we want to grow in faith. That's a dream. And we all have that, and God gives us that. But our lives are not made up of the dreams that I dream. That's the beginning. It's made up of the choices that you make to have those dreams fulfilled. It doesn't come without effort. Now, there's a verse in Hebrews that we don't want to skim over. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. You know, we talk about Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. The Hall of Famers obtained a good testimony. The Message puts it this way: the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd, took them out of the ordinary and put them in the extraordinary. And that's that extraordinary living that God wants you to live in. And chapter 11 begins with to list ordinary people doing extraordinary feats by the power and presence of our God. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, I mean, the list goes on. It lists all these people that we read about in the Word of God, and they made it into the Hall of Fame of Faith. And what's interesting, included in the list is not only Moses, but do you know that Moses' parents are there as well? His parents? Hebrews 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. I mean, Moses had a lot to do with the Old Testament, the law, and all that God wanted for his people. And his parents had a great deal. By faith, Moses' parents saw that he was a beautiful child. The Bible says, some translations, he was not an ordinary child. There was something about him. And they didn't care what the king's command said. By faith, they hid him. Ordinary people, just like you and me, doing the extraordinary. Ordinary people that made it into the Hall of Fame of Faith. When we talk about Moses, you remember the time he sent men in the territory that God had promised him. Moses had the exile, and they moved out, and they got this promised land they're all going towards, they're all marching towards. And God sent Moses, God had Moses send men in to spy out the land. Here's my promised land. Go check it out. 12 men go in. 10 come back saying, what, it's impossible. It's just not going to happen. We can't take the land. There are too many giants living there. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. And Caleb and Joshua believed God. And they believed God could enable them to conquer the land. They go in the land God had promised them and bring back. One of the things they brought back, several things. One thing they brought back is cluster of grapes. A cluster that was so big they had to put it on a pole and carry it between two men. You're not going to find that in Giant Eagle, you know? I mean, they got all these grapes. Can you picture it saying, this land is what God said it would be. This is incredible. But we can't take it. These people are too big for us. Everything that God had said about the promised land was true. And they were on the edge of the promise, poised to take the land. Go in and check it out so you know what battle you're going to face. And you know that you're not going to get through this without me, God is saying, if you will. And they're saying, they're too big and our God's too small, is really what they're saying. Now, God forbid that I or you would ever say something like that. But see, unbelief, the power of unbelief, makes us say those kind of things. It can't happen. It's just too much. And unfortunately, their unbelief and their rebellion kept them out of the land, stopped them from walking in the very thing God wanted for them, poised to go in and possess that. I don't think you're going to step into what God wants for you without a challenge. And they had a challenge in front of you, and some challenges are bigger than others. But how much of God's promise and grace do you want in your life? So here's this morning's question. What's keeping you out of your promised land? What's stopping you from walking into what God has promised for you? What's stopping you from possessing your future, the future God has for you? What issues are you dealing with that's keeping you from all that God has for you? When the Israelites failed to believe God, failed to act in faith and perform the extraordinary, they did not inherit the promise. They did not walk into their promised future. And the promise was still there. They just didn't enter into it. Instead, they did what? Continued to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And what's interesting, I mean, over the years, I've had people tell me, I'm struggling, God's got me in a wilderness experience right now. And I understand the emotion of that, But you got to understand something. When they walked in the wilderness, they were there because of unbelief. He said, God's got me in a wilderness situation right now. I guess I'm saying I don't believe God. I'm being rebellious. I mean, that, I know they don't mean it when they say that. But the reality, there are sometimes challenges in our life that may feel like that. But God's got a promise for you to walk in. And some challenges are bigger than others. So 12 men went in. 10 men, based on their sight, had a conclusion of unbelief. 2 men, based on their faith, had a conclusion of victory. There's a big difference. Caleb and Joshua pleaded with the men to go into the land. We can do this. Because Caleb and Joshua knew their God. And they compared God to the giants instead of comparing themselves to the giants. And that's always a great place to start in believing God. And unbelief and fear will keep you, like the Israelites, wandering around in circles. Faith always moves you forward. Faith doesn't keep you in circles. Faith gives you a destination. Faith gives you a forward movement. Faith has you looking up. Faith has you pressing onwards, not wandering in circles or stepping backwards. It was not God's intention for them to wander in the wilderness. He sent them to spy out the land so they could know further where God was taking them and what to expect from God. And God will always show you just a little bit of his plan. Just a little bit of his plan, waiting for you to respond in faith. Sometimes God will show you just enough to whet your appetite. I've had God show me things in my life that I knew weren't for the immediate, but I was to start seeking him about it. This place we're in is a prime example of that. About 5 years before we even began to look here, I knew God started telling me that we were going to come in this direction from where we were down the road. The only person I think I told about was my wife. And for 5 years, I mean, I didn't jump ahead of it. I just knew God was dwelling on me, and I just kept praying about it. And when I thought about it, it wasn't an every day, but I'd think about it often. And one time we came down the road, and we did a little harvest festival. I'm just seeking out God. I mean, sometimes he gives you enough to know you got to press farther. And then all of a sudden, I just knew in my heart it was time. It was time. I hadn't known that for five. I didn't know what it was for 5 years. But I knew he was preparing me and us. And you know the story. I went to the board and we all sought God. And a couple years later, here we were finally. You know, it was like it didn't just happen overnight. But my point is, sometimes God gives you just enough to say, this is where I want you to start heading. This is where you go. And that takes faith. We want the whole picture. Tell me the beginning and the end and the middle, and I'll decide how much of that I want. We want, and God says, I just want you to take a step. He shows you a little bit of plan, and he wants you to respond in faith. And here's something that's interesting. The ones who acted in rebellion and unbelief did not enter the promised land. And yet, in spite of that, God didn't abandon them. And that's a great promise and a great understanding this morning. If you feel like you're not quite where God wants you to be, he doesn't abandon you. I've been pastoring 23 years. Probably did evangelistic work for about 8 years before that. And for a number of those years, I knew in my heart when I was working in my contracting, I knew in my heart I wasn't quite where God wanted me to be. I just knew it. And I was just kind of waiting on God, but I also knew I got caught up in some things, and God never abandoned what he placed within me. Do you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't abandon you. He never says, okay, you're not listening to me. Go sit in a corner somewhere. Even in the wilderness experience, he continued his miraculous provision for them. It was not his best. His best would have been the promised land. But he did not abandon them. He did not abandon them. Rather, he used the following 40 years as faith builders for them and for those who come behind them to build their faith. Consider their journey. I mean, as they traveled, they came across many obstacles. And God, at every turn, provided his supernatural power and his presence to meet that need. These are the ones who are there because of unbelief, but God said, I'm still with you. They traveled. There were many battles to be fought. The ones that God wanted them to fight, he instructed them to. The ones that he didn't want them to fight, he told them not to. And when they were obeyed, they were successful. When they disobeyed, they were defeated. And as a little side note, I'll throw this in, no charge this morning, pick your battles. Pick your battles. There are some things in your life that just aren't, what are you fighting about it for? In your relationship, you get caught up in some of these silly things and you battle over something that's like, really? Why are you going there? Is it really worth it? Have the discernment of God to know some things that are worth fighting for in a godly fashion and some things are willing to say, it's just, I'm just going to set this thing aside. Because if we're honest with each other, we'll fight and bicker about some of the stupidest stuff. Amen? Amen? We just do. So when they obey, they're successful, and disobey, they're defeated. And in every successful battle, God was building their faith. He was preparing them to go into the promised land and not cower in fear as their forefathers did. He said, okay, I'm going to take some time. And you know what? God didn't change in those 40 years. He changed them. He changed the ones that came behind, the youngsters, and built their faith. Their battles were considerable, but in every battle, they grew in faith. Every challenge, every trial, every battle you have in life, you can grow in faith. It's our life's faith builders. God desires to do the same for you. He directs your battles. As you listen to him, you grow in faith, you grow in confidence, and if God's with you, who can defeat you? He will take you through this. And towards the end of the journey, Moses writes about their wanderings. It's like he said, this is an incredible story you've got to hear. In Deuteronomy, he describes their walk and their battles. He writes of God's supernatural protection and all his victories they had. A couple lands and a couple kings stand out more than others, and one of them was Og, king of Bashan. Og and his tribe were considered remnants of the giants that frightened the spies. They were remnants. And King Og's bed was so big, it was on display in the city of Rabbah after his defeat. His bed was 13 feet long and 6 foot wide and made of iron to support his weight. That's a big man. 13 feet long and 6 feet wide, made of iron to support his weight. He's a big boy. And God said, he's nothing. I can defeat him. Because God was with them, and only because God was with them, they were successful. With God's hand, they prevailed in battle while they waited to go in the promised land. When time came for the next generation to take the promised land, they were confident of God's hand and his continued presence. When a time came for them to re-enter the promise, don't miss this, they were confident of God's hand and his continued presence. Are you confident that God's hand is on your life? And are you confident of his reassuring presence? Because he promises, if you know Christ, he's with you. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, that you can know that God is with you. And so I don't feel like God's with you. It takes faith. It takes faith. That's what God wants to do in your life. And there are places and events in your life that are faith builders and confidence builders. There are places and events in your life that are faith builders and confidence builders. Don't miss out on them. God wants you to grow your faith. He'll build your faith as you walk with him. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What a wonderful promise. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, it starts out with knowing God and having this wonderful relationship. It takes faith. But anyone that comes to him, put your name in there. You believe that he exists. I'm sure all of you this morning said, I believe God exists. Well, that's just the beginning. Because he wants to reward those that diligently, earnestly seek him. The daily life of building your faith, getting to know him better. And true faith comes from knowing God. And you can only know God when you spend time with him, his word, you spend time in worship and in the fellowship of the saints. It's all part of getting to know God. We know that Hebrews 11 is a hall of fame of faith, and we read this and we think it contains the movers and shakers of God. You think of a hall of fame, we think of the hall of fame, a football hall of fame in Canton. Only the very best get in there. Watch the Olympics, and only the best wear the gold medals. And we think of Hebrews chapter 11, and think of these great feats these people did, and we think, you know, we're just not the major players. We'd never belong in the Hall of Fame. It's just not who we are. And that's where you're wrong. Take time this week and read Hebrews 11, about 32 through, I'll read the whole chapter, but pay attention to 32 and 35 through 40. Men and women of God, men and women believing God and His promises, men and women of great faith, unnamed women and men, just like God is calling you to great faith, faith to overcome the giants in your life. People that don't really have a name, and God said, I know who they are. Pay attention to what these people have accomplished. Those that study these things say that right now, there are more men and women being persecuted for their faith in our world than throughout the whole history of Christianity. Something's happening. They can only do that because they have an unshakable faith. A faith that declares God is real and active and alive in their life. Is your faith unshakable? That's a great question, isn't it? Is your faith unshakable? In the early church, those that called Christ Lord had to really mean it. The Roman government severely persecuted Christians for their faith. I mean, we're growing in persecution, yes, in this land, but not like what they put through. Not only did believers have the Jewish leaders against them, they even had the government against them. The Romans of that time had to confess the current emperor as deity. That'd be like you confessing that your president is God. Deity. That's what it's like. Yeah, that'd shake you up. They were required to burn incense on the altar and confess Caesar as Lord. When they didn't, they were ostracized from society. They could not get permits to work. They suffered poverty, tremendous persecution, just because they wouldn't proclaim somebody other than Jesus as Lord. That takes unshakable faith. As a Christian, they were a marked man, considered a patriotic traitor, their lives in daily jeopardy. They suffered torture. There's about 10 or 11 things they did that were horrendous to persecute these people. Some were put on a rack. A rack was a wheel 2 feet wide, about 8 feet high. Their feet would be tied to the floor and their hands to the wheel. And the torturer would crank the wheel, pulling their arms and legs. If they would not confess Caesar as Lord, their arms and legs would be pulled out of their sockets and die. That takes unshakable faith. Some were put in oil and buried and boiled alive. Many suffered crucifixion as Christ did. Some would be tied to a stake with a wood at the bottom, literally roasted alive. And there was a common practice of the day at the large Colosseum, the Romans would starve lions for several days or weeks. They'd put Christians in the middle and let the lions tear them apart. 50,000 people watching cry out for the blood of the Christian. There are pictures of lions with Christians' body parts in them. I mean, it's crazy. How was it possible? How could anybody endure such a torture? Because they believed in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and their faith was unshakable. You're not going to get put in a rack next week or next month. But you know what? Sometimes in life it feels like it, doesn't it? Sometimes in life it feels like we're going through some horrible event. And God says, I want you to build your faith today to go into my promise tomorrow. And some battles are going to be bigger than others, but even the little battles will build your faith. God took those people in such a place, encouraged them in a daily life, encouraged them in their faith builders, that they could go through torture rather than denounce Christ. We're so blessed in the country. I mean, we've said often there's more persecutions for Christians in this country than ever before. It's growing, but we still enjoy the freedom of worship. We still get to make that choice who we want to serve, and God is still involved in our lives, and He's building everyday faith builders in your life. So I think we need a purpose to serve God in a greater fashion. I think we need to grow in our faith. We need to watch for God's faith builders in our lives. And we need not forget that unbelief has power in it as well. Because we have a choice. And I want to grow in faith. I want to be someplace better tomorrow and next week and next year than I am today. I want to know God in a greater way. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing what God has to say to you through the Word of God. Invite the worship team to come forward. Several years ago, a few of us were riding on our motorcycles for the day. I remember coming down Route 8 in Cuyahoga Falls, And it's a very busy time of night, traffic all around us in the freeway. And as I looked up, there were hot air balloons, and I'm not exaggerating, about 50 hot air balloons in the sky. I mean, there were all sorts of designs, and they weren't just, it was crazy. They just launched up. And it was hard not to stare at them. We're going down about 55, 60 miles an hour, cars and trucks all around us, and there's all these balloons. And I know not only am I looking at them, everybody around me is looking at them. We're just kind of riding down the road, you know, and it's hard not to stare at them. And I saw two lessons of faith. One is like keeping your eyes riveted on God and to trust Him to lead you on the highway of life. And the other is life always has distractions to look at. Pretty things that catch your attention away from God. Your eyes are distracted from the highway of faith, and you're at the risk of crashing. God says, keep your eyes on me. And just like the hot air balloons, the distractions of life are filled with hot air. No substance. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy about the great feats of God. And he writes, He showed you these things and took you through these things, if you will, so that you would know the Lord God is there. And there is no other. That's faith builders. Let's stand this morning and worship our God together. One.